This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
A very warm welcome to you. We've got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. And if you're joining us now, if you're tuning in now, you're listening to The Power Week with me, your host, Ntokozo Mazibuko. We're still in the second hour of the show, but currently in our social feature. And we'll be looking at the institutionalizing of our heroes, more specifically our liberation heroes, our liberation stalwarts. And we'll be reflecting on how we as a country honor our various liberation stalwarts. So in today's edition, we'll be paying special attention to our struggle hero, Solomon Kalushi Mahlangu, whose family yesterday on Saturday marked 40 years since his hanging at the gallows of Hoshimaburu prison. Every year, his family commemorates his death by performing a ritual to invite his spirit and the Mahlangu ancestors over now earlier this week. And also reason why we're really in conversation on this topic earlier this week, the Department of Arts and Culture, together with the National Heritage Council, announced that the Mamelodi home of Uma Martha Mahlangu, the mother of the struggle icon, would be turned into a national heritage site. And so really, we're just interested in getting into conversation. And I'm joined in studio today by author of the book, Mamelodi, Reflections of a Lifetime, author Aubrey Mokgase. And I'm also joined in studio this morning by a gentleman by the name of Rodney Tabane. And we'll be in conversation, of course, like I said, on, I guess, the legacy of Solomon Kalushi Mahlangu. And you, of course, are welcome to join in on the conversation. Let your voice be heard by calling in on our phone line 0861-987-000 or tweet us at PowerFM987 using the hashtag Power Week. So a very good morning to you, gentlemen, and welcome to the show.
Pleasure. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'll just jump right into the first question that I have on Solomon Mahlangu. How relevant would you say are heritage sites in helping us as a country to remember, to commemorate the legacy of our struggle icons?
The most important fact in terms of our heritage sites is, you know, the upliftment of economic opportunities in townships.
Yes.
You know, it is very much important for government to create this particular infrastructure for people to, you know, elongate or take further, you know, their heritage, because they always say that the heritage of any place is a source of pride to the community.
Mm.
And to all those people with direct or indirect links, you know, to that particular community. So it is way too important because South Africa is seeing, you know, growth in terms of tourism.
Mm.
And it is important that these townships, you know, need to be supported so that, you know, economic revitalization, you know, empowerment, you know, take place in our societies. And fortunate communities like Mamelodi, having to have, you know, the statue of Solomon Mahlangu, plays a much bigger role in terms of luring people into the township for purposes of visits and understanding the
yes.
history and the heritage where the township comes from.
Now, yesterday we marked 40 years commemorating this anniversary. Do you think we're 40 years too late? Do you think the government took too long in recognizing Martha Mahlangu's home in this way, in this manner?
In essence, I would basically say yes.
Mm.
In turning the house into a heritage house,
yeah,
or creating a museum, but this one has actually taken forever. Because this was declared back in Nelson Mandela's era.
Oh, I did not know that.
And it has been, you know, overcarried, you know, period after period. And Solomon Mahlangu has actually been honored in Mamelodi way back in 1980s because of, you know, even students or learners then.
Yes.
In defiance, they commemorated the day of the 6th of April. Every year as a Solomon Mahlangu Day.
Mm.
So there was massive stayaways, you know, in Mamelodi in recognition and commemorating Solomon Mahlangu, the local Mataya.
Mm. In turning the home into a heritage site, do you think that as a country we run the risk of assigning you know, politics or a political view or a political ideal to the heritage site as opposed to just celebrating the individual itself. And I ask this because, you know, recently there's been a lot of contention and a lot of tension with regards to the legacy of Umam Winnie Madikizela Mandela, you know, with her a strong ANC roots. And of course, this new sort of, I don't know how else to phrase it, but, you know, this new entrance of the EFF and their own ownership and their own claiming of her legacy. Do you think as a country, we need to be very specific about we are celebrating the individual as an icon and what they did and what they represent? Or are we going to allow the commemoration to be influenced by politics in a way?
It's unfortunate that politics, you know, play a much bigger role in terms of, you know, commemorations of struggle icons.
Mm.
Mama Winnie's roots are in the ANC.
Mm.
And we have got, you know, power struggles at play here. And everyone wants to be relevant. It is unfortunate that, you know, these things now become political football. The other one wants to outdo the other one. And we basically understand where, you know, politics come to play. You know, our leaders, I would basically say that they lack the characteristics of leadership.
Yes.
I mean, it's all about the country. You know, I love the words of a great man in South Africa, Dr. B.E. Barnabas Lekganyane. He once told leaders that remember that you guys have actually been breastfed from one breast. You know, you which is South Africa. I mean, take the country first and, you know, your opinions will come.
Yes.
So it is important for people to understand that it is for the betterment of the community other than having to be selfish. You take what is happening today in Alexandra.
Mm.
You know, it's a political football. I mean, you hear the mayor say, no, it's an ANC thing. I mean, it is unfortunate. You are leading people. You are a leader of the people. Go and meet the people so as to address, you know, issues. We don't like tension. We don't like instability. Address the issues and things could go back to normal.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think on the political diversity that we have as in the country, it's also have a sense of relevance in a sense that one political party was also compromising us. But we cannot divorce ourselves from the fact that the time of Solomon Matlangu, which political parties were dominating,
yes.
All we have to do as a collective, like Aubrey as an individual, took his time and write a book about Solomon Matlangu. We need to increase a number of people who must tell the history of the country without connecting, attaching themselves to the political
ideologies.
So we are moving at the stage whereby a number of people who must tell our stories, it's increasing. And I'm happy, even if they're going to do a heritage site, it's a good thing on the other side so that the kids can know that that street is valuable street. It's not just one of them. Because if you look at the street itself at this time, it's not looking good.
Okay.
But there was a hero in the street.
Mm.
So we must increase the number of people who must tell our stories, celebrate our heroes. Because look at the Martin Luther.
Mm.
If you look at YouTube now, they still speeches of Martin Luther that are still generating Inca in money for Americans.
Mm.
So why can't we have that?
Absolutely.
For our own heroes.
Absolutely.
We need to do that.
Absolutely. Now, Aubrey, you've written this book, you've authored this book, Mamelodi, Reflections of a Lifetime. I want you to just tell us a little bit about the book itself. And, of course, you've also dedicated a section to Solomon Matlangu and just talk to us about that as well. And talk to us a little bit about Solomon Matlangu. Who was he? And why should we today as South Africans commemorate him in the spirit?
Mamelodi Reflections of a Lifetime was basically written to tell the story of Mamelodi.
Mm.
It is a pictorial book with captions. Mamelodi's history dates back to, you know, 1400s, where the Ndebeles of the Amanala tribe were accredited to be the first settlers, you know, in the east of Pretoria. And I am telling a story about the Eerste Fabrieken, which was the first factory that was operated in 1882, which gave birth to what we call today South African breweries.
Mm.
I have a picture of the factory itself.
My goodness.
Mamelodi is the first industrialized area in Africa. I also have a picture of Emeritus Bishop Desmond Tutu in the book, where he was schooling in Mamelodi at the Pretoria Bantu Normal College, which was called College of Anaba Africa. And I also have, you know, the pictures of Mamelodi heroes like Wontate Binoni Malaka, the runner. This man, you know, broke all sorts of records in terms of your 800 miles. And he was supposed to have represented South Africa back in 1964 Japan Olympics. Mm-hmm. His passport was detained at the Union Buildings. And, you know, the system was asking, who are you going to be sitting next to in the aeroplane? Who are you going to be sleeping next to at the hotel?
Mm.
Who are you going to be competing with? Because of he was bidding all in sundry in South Africa. I am telling the story of Mamelodi heroes, you know, Bontate Mogauane Mahloele. You know, the man who left South Africa in 1975 to go into exile, and today who is a musicologist in America. He is a crafter of note. He creates African drums, African instruments. He teaches Pedi music in America.
My goodness.
And Solomon Mahlangu is one of the guys whom I regard as the biggest hero because he sacrificed a lot.
Okay. Dr. Aubrey, I'm just going to pause you there because I'm inundated with all of this information, all of this history on Mamelodi that I think a lot of Mamelodi residents are not privy to. They don't know about this, and I think this is a gold mine. And I applaud you for writing this book, this pictorial book. But I'm just going to pause you quickly because we do have to go to news now at 11 o'clock with Thando Maigo. But when we come back, we will still be in conversation with Ntate Aubrey Mogase and Ntate Rodney Tabane, and we'll be in conversation with them specifically about the legacy of Solomon Mahlangu. But as you've heard for yourself as well, the history, the deep and valuable history of Mamelodi.
The Power Week, Sunday 9 a.m. to midday on Power 98.7.
It's just gone 5 minutes past 11. If you're just joining us now, if you're tuning in now, you're listening to The Power Week with me, your host, Ndongoza Mazibuka. I'm joined in studio this morning by Ubab Aubrey Mogase and Ubab Rodney Tabane, and we're in conversation with them reflecting on Mamelodi as a township, its history, and paying special attention to our struggle hero, Solomon Kalushi Mahlangu, whose family yesterday marked 40 years since his hanging at the gallows of Goshi Mampuru prison. Now, before we went for that news break, we were talking to Aubrey Mogase, and he was just giving us some insight into the book that he's authored, Mamelodi, Reflections of a Lifetime, and just really taking us through the pictorial and historical archive that is the book, and just giving us, you know, various anecdotal stories of the men who've been shaped, the men and women who've been shaped by Mamelodi, and of course leading up to his take on the man that was Solomon Mahlangu. So, Aubrey, if you could just pick up where you left off, really.
Man, I was saying that you know, Solomon Mahlangu has paid the ultimate price.
Mm.
You know, Solomon has shown the bravery. He has shown his love for the country itself. You know, when he was sent to the gallows, he said those famous words. But in essence, all what Solomon was saying was that South Africa is going to be free and all shall actually enjoy, you know, the freedom that was fought for. Unfortunately, you know, our leaders really need to understand that a lot of blood has been spilled. There were a lot of sacrifices. You know, it is about time that people's lives should be bettered. Solomon Mahlangu has shown the way to us. And Solomon Mahlangu, as leaders, are actually saying that people, you know, young ones need to emulate him. You know, it is important that there needs to be programs for our youth. There is a serious moral decay in the country.
Mm.
And Solomon Mahlangu had an agenda, and he was focused on it. So it is important that we come up with programs that would, you know, make our children to focus on. It is very much important that the government really needs to up, you know, the ante. And you know, speaking of Solomon Mahlangu, I mean, Solomon was immortalized. There is a statue in Mamelodi. There is a school named after Solomon Mahlangu in Mamelodi. There is, you know, one main artillery road that leads, you know, Pretoria East, you know, from Cullinan to the R21 highway, you know, named after him. So mm-hmm. Solomon Mahlangu is one guy who really deserves, you know, the honor for all that he did for the country and for generations to come.
Mm.
There is a need for more education on this kind of heroes. You know, I was taking students through, you know, the tourism route in Mamelodi, and I asked, you know, who was Solomon Mahlangu? And one answered by asking if he did not play football. So it is that kind of information that yeah. really needs to get out there. People should not just see the statue and think that, you know, it ends there. It is very much important that more needs to be done to mm-hmm. educate our children on basically what is happening. And as you can see, you know, government is running with programs of us having to welcome, you know, the fourth industrial revolution. But not much is being done, you know, to prepare, you know, these kids.
Yes.
Let us go to the East, you know, we go to South Korea, we go to Taiwan and Japan. You know, four-year-olds, you know, are doing wonders, you know, with electronic devices. And it is important that our government really needs to do a lot. You know, giving out tablets, you know, paperless classrooms are not enough. We definitely need to go deeper, you know, on this particular matters.
Mm.
We are talking, you know, the scourge of drugs in our townships, but yet nothing has been done.
Mm.
We are heavily challenged, and it is important that we as communities need to also come up, you know, with programs and projects that we can employ rather than having to wait for government. You know, I started Mushito wa Mamelodi, which is the beat of Mamelodi, having seen that there is a need for us, you know, to speak to issues that are happening in our townships. And it is very much important that we engage, you know, learners or today's youth so as to prepare them for tomorrow. We are trying to, you know, come up with programs of making or creating responsible people. One,
Sorry, would you say, because I hear you talking about this entire thing, what I love about this entire project is that it is multifaceted. And I am more so interested in the educational aspect of it all, because I do believe, I am one of those people who believe that our government is letting our society down when it comes to education and educating our children and fully equipping them to become the future leaders of this country. I want to ask you, would you say that the decolonization of our schooling curriculum is one way to achieve that, you know, where heroes like Solomon Mahlangu are not just relegated to some or other margin of history, or where they're relegated to some or other footnote, you know, in a historical textbook, where they become front and center of our knowledge, of receiving knowledge in this country when it comes to education?
Mm-hmm. True. Our education, you know, it's very much important.
And Rodney, you're more than welcome give your insights.
You will jump in. Yeah. It is important that, you know, people understand that Solomon Mahlangu died at a very, very young age. And having to decolonize our education, it's government's responsibility. I mean, we are seeing, you know, decays of systems, even at school. And you know, you go to the Department of Education, discuss these particular issues. You are promised, you know, a visit, and it never happens.
Mm.
Today we know about Jan van Riebeck,
mm.
and that is because somebody wrote about Jan van Riebeck.
We've even memorized the date.
Mm. You know, I've been to Kenya. Coming out of the plane, you see Africa, you see Kenya. You know, Namibia, the airport. You know, they play their own music there. But when you come to South Africa, we are so westernized. And nothing has actually been attempted to be done. Maybe Rodney would elongate, you know, he's an educationalist.
Yes. No,
but let me just firstly give South Africans a hope.
Okay.
At my age, I'm a relevant father at the right time. I don't think parent at the right time. I think everybody of our age group who are parents at this stage, we are at the time whereby we are naturally gifted to deal with the challenges. So we need to believe and think positively and creatively see how do we solve these problems. We can solve it. If Aubrey can sit down and take his time and energy and write a book without knowing who's going to be the reader,
absolutely.
Somebody can do it somewhere.
Absolutely.
So as we go along educating our society, rehabilitating each other, remember we are a generation that from the generation which were taught how to throw the stone to fight the government. But with the new government coming in, there was never an effort or an exercise that can rehabilitate us to say throwing the stone is not the way to go. So even the newborn political parties are using the old system of fighting burning tires. So we need to come to the stage whereby let's have a critical conversations with the critical conversation. It's a conversation that doesn't point a finger. It's a friend that says a voice pointing at me. What do I do where I am at this moment? How committed am I to my community without talking to the politician? He wrote a book without asking a permission from a president. Write something in a little corner that you know that in a long term it will make an impact. So we are the right parents at the right moment. Let's just stay committed and believe this country will go somewhere. Our kids believe in what the conversation we have with another. So let's have that positive conversation at a given time with our kids, with our young boys on the street. Teach them how to be a man, how to be a girl, how to stop drinking alcohol, and how the effect of alcohol on your kids. Those are daily conversations. And the education of the kids trusting you as an adult in front of you. You make the country different in a small way.
I love that, the idea of having critical conversations with children, but critical conversations that are solution-oriented and not necessarily fixated on identifying who the problem maker is, but solution-oriented. So we have a couple of callers on the line, a couple of them which would like to speak to you specifically about the book, but also just on some of the commentary that you've made, which I think has just been so powerful this morning. Let's head straight to you, Levine in Pretoria. Good morning, Levine.
Hey, Ntokozo. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Thank you very much. Good morning to the two gentlemen in the studio as well, you know?
Good morning,
thanks,
Levine.
Thanks, Levine.
Yeah, man. I would like actually to commend Obru Muhazi for that book, you know. One of actually the major challenges that we are facing is that, you know, the information that is being given right there, you know, you can't find it anywhere unless actually you find that book as well. I was hoping if there was a way for our government to incorporate such, you know, into our curriculum so that maybe, you know, the coming generation can learn about it, because that's something that, you know, they need to learn as well, because we are learning Western things, as he might actually alluded a little bit earlier on. And also, I want to know where to get that book, if I want to get hold of that book as well from Baobri. That's all that I wanted to ask. Thanks very much.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Levine. I'll let the gentleman in the studio respond to everyone once we've taken all the calls. Jerry in Letabile, good morning.
Yes, how are you, Ntokozo?
Good, thank you.
Yeah,
what's on your mind?
My greetings to your guest there.
Thank you.
I was actually having a debate with a teacher here locally who was actually visiting the local radio station talking about history. Then he was talking about the history of China. Then I actually engaged him on the issue of why not South African history. So the question is that it is not the government that they should give us a vision of our history to teach in the schools. As we, the people of South Africa and the SGP community, must come together.
Jerry.
And tell the government that we want to take our history to the schools as one of the curriculums, because of the history of Solomon Mahlangu is not taught anywhere in the schools. Then the last question that I want to pose to them is that what is happening with the issue of the Mamelodi Rondavels there? Because of the last time I saw the pictures in the media, they were actually dilapidating. So I want to know, have you included the Rondavels there? And where can we get the book? Because I want the book.
Okay. All right. So another right. inquiry about the book there. Let's go to Jeff Masimola. Morning. Oh, my apologies. Bandile in Orlando West. Good morning.
Hey, Tokozo.
Ngiyaxolisa. Ngiyaxolisa. Ngiyaxolisa.
Hey, Tara, and your guest today, ne?
Thank you.
What I wanted to find out from your guest, man, is that we hear that Jeff Masimola, the man who spent 28 years behind bars in Robben Island, he's also from Pitora, but we hear little about him. We never heard True. Why he was kept so long in Robben Island. Mm-hmm. Nothing is being said about him.
True.
All right, Bandile, thank you so much. See, no, Paul true. From Pretoria Central, good morning.
Morning, ma'am. I hope you're all well out there. I want to comment with, I have two comments, ma'am, with regards to the book and with regards to the issue of the naming of Solomon Mahlangu, his home, as a museum. I think the EFF has made it clear that in their manifesto that for all authors who are like it, that they will buy 50,000 books for to be distributed all over the country for children to read and to educate ourselves about our history being taught by our own, not other people from other countries telling our history the wrong way.
Mm.
With regards to the museum, that the naming of Solomon Mahlangu, it's a good initiative. And but I'm worried about the people who are advocating it. Because if you are looking at their track record in terms of such initiatives, they've been mad with corruption. If you are looking at
Sorry to interrupt this, Sipo. When you say you're worried about the people who are advocating for this, are you talking about the department itself?
I'm talking about the department, ma'am.
Right.
I'm talking about the department. They've been these things have been marred by corruption. Looking at Oliver Tambo's home in Pisan, if you're looking at it now, if you can go now and look at it, it has been pronounced as a museum. Money has been spent, but if you look, go to the ground, there's nothing to show that this is a museum. It does not even have a roof. That house. Going to Brantford, look at Mama Winnie's house.
Mm.
It was declared that it's going to be a museum and money was spent, and look at it now. So I'm worried. That's
okay.
My worry.
All right.
That's my worry.
All right. Thank you, Sipo, there. And quickly, Ntom Zotwa, good morning, sis.
Morning, Johnny.
Siyaphila, what's on your mind?
Siyaphila. Actually, the meeting Bonge in Wadiba Yenzili, my sister Saka Kalushi. The late Thomas Naiti Pabupaito, actually Mkhulwana. And in terms of true, I think Umbuso way to Mina for Mina is like the politicizer is into. And then if you're not under Velen in Wati Leguti, Ibega Kule Ekulin, because Tina Nati see Zugulu, we only learn a story list messes of Abazali Vastotel. And then just to see also a TV, like myself, story lacy, when it played. It was then I saw what was happening, apart from what Mkhulu was talking.
Yeah, okay.
You know, yes.
All right, siyabonga sisi. We have to go for a quick promo break, but when we come back, Ubab Obri no Bab Rodney, they'll tackle all the questions that have been put to them. I've written them down, and we'll go through them one by one.
This is your world. Power 98.7. Now. We're talking.
So we're in the third and final hour of the show in this week's edition of the Power Week. And we're in our social feature for the day and looking at the institutionalizing of our heroes, the various ways in which we as a country honor our liberation icons and stalwarts. And in today's social feature, we specifically paying attention to our struggle hero, Solomon Kalushi Mahlangu, whose family yesterday marked 40 years since his passing. Now, shortly before we went to that ad break, we had a number of calls from our listeners, and I know many of them were interested in asking our guests today in studio where they can actually buy a copy of Untate Obri Mukhase's book, Mamelodi, Reflections of a Lifetime. We also had a couple of callers asking, Jerry specifically asked about the rondavels in Mamelodi. So if we can just tackle that question. Mm. And I know that Bandile also asked about Jeff Masimola and why we haven't heard anything about him and his own roots, which stem from Mamelodi. And of course, Usipo giving us that very interesting information about the EFF and their willingness to actually buy books that have been written by South Africans about South Africa so that we can educate our youth on our country's history. And of course, Ntate Rodney will come to you on Ntom Zotwa's phone call where she specifically mentioned her father. So, Dr. Aubrey, let's just go to you first. Where can our listeners actually get a copy of your book?
You know, I am selling the book myself.
Okay.
Because of logistical challenges.
Yes.
But whoever wishes to place an order, they can email info@musitowamamelodi, like musitowamamelodi.co.za, one word.
Okay.
And the issue of the rendezvous, it's a pity. This is, you know, the structure that actually gave birth to the present-day Mamelodi. Mm. The rendezvous were built as a form of, you know, urban housing by the Pretoria City Council. Mm. The rendezvous were later rejected by the inhabitants of Mamelodi. Then came the construction of the four-roomed houses. The construction of the four-roomed houses was provided by the industrial school, where Mr. Cox, you know, was the principal. He saved money for the council by providing labor to construct these four-roomed houses. And the rendezvous were declared a heritage site.
Okay.
By Tshwane Metro Council.
Mm.
They were renovated and locked up, so no one could access the rendezvous. We have been knocking at the city of Tshwane's door to utilize the rendezvous, because we have got many photographs. We have got a lot of exhibition in terms of historical development of Mamelodi.
So you've reached out to city of Tshwane with to no avail.
That is correct.
My goodness.
From the mayorship of Gwen Ramokopa to Sputla, Ramokopa, and, you know, the present-day DAIM administration.
Yes.
And the Solomon Mahlangu Freedom Square also was renovated and locked, you know, out for community. Mm. People could not use them. And the rendezvous are today vandalized. They were burnt down last year, July.
Mm.
So all what I know is that there are plans afoot, you know, to restore the rendezvous. And there is also the city of Delft, because of, remember, after 95 elections of the local government, the city of Delft and the city of Tshwane got into an agreement. So there is that relationship. So there is a lady called Corinne who is interacting and, you know, flying in between Holland and Pretoria for purposes of seeing to it that the rendezvous get restored back and they come to work again.
Do we have any specific timelines that our listeners can actually... Nothing at the moment.
I'm not privy to that information.
Okay.
And
okay.
The issue of Jeff Masemola.
Yes.
And Dr. Bandile, I thank you, sir. You know, the first prisoners to be at Robben Island, unfortunately, happens to be from the Pan-Africanist Congress. And one Dr. Jeff Masemola, one Dr. Mkhwanazi, who Dr. Mkhwanazi is basically from Mamelodi.
Mm.
And he's still alive even today, 90-something years. Nelson Mandela found them at the Robben Island. It is true, Jeff Masemola is from Attridgeville.
Mm.
And I know that there's a book written about Pearly, Attridgeville. I just don't know whether that Jeff Masemola was covered or not. But I am trying to basically do my bit in terms of covering what comes from Mamelodi.
Right.
Like the new book that I've just written that would be launched, you know, on the 27th of April this year. It's a political book. Now I am unpacking all the political.
Can you just give us the title again? I know I wrote it down, but if you could just give us the title of that book yourself.
The title of the book is Evasive State Gave Rise to Popular Resistance.
Mm.
Mamelodi
in focus. Okay. And this is more political than Reflections
correct.
Of a Lifetime.
That is correct.
Right.
Okay. I am showing, you know, the national heritage character of the township Mamelodi. Mm. You know, I was once in a city of Cologne in Germany, and somebody asked me, "How are they at your country, Mamelodi?"
Our country, Mamelodi.
Yes, and these are people who know how rich the area is in terms of heritage.
Mm.
So it is much important that we do the same. And I would like, you know, the EFF to actually even get in touch and understand. Because of, yes, it is true, we have been hearing news of people writing our own stories, like the new book that was launched, you know, The Gangster State.
Yes, written by Peter Lee Myburgh. Yeah.
That's correct. So it is important that we give, you know, the side of our stories also.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Rodney, I know that you wanted to talk to us specifically about what Ntom Zodwa said about her own father and his own contribution, of course.
I think she spoke of Stanza Bopape.
Oh, Stanza Bopape.
Yeah,
oh.
No, he's covered in the book, yes. But it's just a paragraph here.
Yeah, but let me also give the gentleman who called, he said, who told about the EFF his nation to buy books.
Yes.
Let me just give him a hope. And I want him to be, some along the line, numb his feelings about his political affiliations. At least what gives me hope where I am is that now it has been declared that history is gonna be, South African history is gonna be a must in all our schools. Whether it's done by EFF or ANC or other political party, we are happy it's going to be done. All I can simply say to people like him, to say other political parties, help us by holding each other accountable in this space so that what any political party commit can get the results.
Tom Zotto was talking about Thomas Masuku.
Thomas Masuku.
Yes,
so
yes.
What I did is we've got Sinto Mizompita's numbers. We'll contact her and see what is that we can... Or can just put down on paper so that we can get organic the story from the origin.
Yes.
Because the other thing that one has to encourage to the parents are there, if there's a political hero in home, get the stories, get people, some a person like Aubrey, let's get these stories in black and white so that the kids can make money out of the stories of their elders or their grandkids. Because the future of economy, as much as in industrial revolution, our story is the only thing that we can sell to the world.
Mm.
That makes us relevant.
Mm.
Also, that brings me to element of educating our kids about our history. It's also important that along the line, I know English is one of the media of language that we encourage to speak in the families lately because of education of the schools.
Mm.
But I'm telling you, you cannot tell me the Pedi story in English. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
Certain dialects has to be in Pedi.
Absolutely.
So we need to encourage each other, speak our home languages so that we can tell the original story of our languages, because I cannot explain the Pedi story in English. So our languages are also important if we have to go forward and be a rich country.
Absolutely.
Through our cultures.
Absolutely. Ntate Aubrey, Ntate Rodney, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us in studio this morning. And I hope that this conversation, this interview, gives due awareness to the book that you have written, of course, and to the second book that you've also written. And please let us know as Power how far everything is and how well you guys are doing, just so that, just touch base essentially. But thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for giving us enough time.
Thank you.
Yes, of course.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.